This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
The College Football Experience South Carolina Gamecocks 2022 season preview episode on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Bet $100 at WinBet and get a $100 free bet. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. We're also brought to you by IP Vanish. Yes, IP Vanish is the official VPN of SGPN, and they're offering 70% off if you go to ipvanish.com/SGP. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. We're also brought to you by Draft Day 2.0. Yes, make sure to check out Draft Day 2.0 starting on August 9th at noon Pacific. Ryan Real Money Kramer from the Sports Gambling Podcast. We'll be drafting fantasy football for 24 straight hours in a fantasy football marathon, but it's not only a fantasy football marathon, you know, for Real Money Kramer. We're raising money for Daryl, a loyal listener who was recently injured in a motorcycle accident, and we're hoping to help him out. So head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/draftday for more details. That's Draft Day 2.0.
Hey, what's up, you degenerate gamblers? This is Bill Burr. And you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride, baby.
Yes, yes, yes. Woo! Welcome to the College Football Experience South Carolina Gamecocks 2022 season preview episode. My name is Colby Swinging Database Dan, aka Pick Dundee. That's not a pick, this is a pick.
When Dundee happened, he was a superstar.
He was raised in the land down under, where a man thinks on his feet, speaks with his fists, and lives by his wits.
I smoke and I drink, and I don't have stress, and I'm healthy.
Talking a little Gamecock action, you know I had to bring on the OG, okay? Give it up for host of the NBA Gambling Podcast and the WNBA Gambling Podcast, and you see him all over the footprint of SGPN. Give it up for my guy. Well, wait. I can think of some. I can ad lib something. The 757, God himself, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. My guy Terrell Furman, how it be?
Yes. What? No. We got to work on that ending,
Dude. That, sir, was ad libbing it. On? That was me ad libbing it right there.
I seen it.
I thought I was like, shit. 757. What can I throw in there? I was trying to think of something that would be. That would be Southern Virginia related besides 757. It's like, what, you have the Navy?
But I mean, we're the coast. Like, we're on the coast, you know. It's Shark City, north of the Shark City.
There you go.
So shouts out.
See, that's what I was missing. Yeah. That's what I was missing. Shark City. All right, Shark City. I'm telling you that we're working on the introduction. Forgive me for,
I got you, you know, I got you. It's all good. It's all love.
I think I'm excited for the next one, but you live in Columbia, South Carolina.
Yes, sir. Yes,
you reside there. And so if anyone's got
country,
if anyone's got a footprint or an ear to the ground on what's happening there with South Carolina, it is Terrell Furman. So, I mean, last year, Shane Beamer, let's just hop in.
You're one.
I was a skeptic of the hire.
I don't know why.
Oh, most of the time when you see like a special teams coach jump to head coach, I know Dabo Swinney is a rare example.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you don't really see, you're like, okay. And I get it. He's got it in the blood, right? Shane Beamer, son of Frank Beamer, but I kind of was a skeptic of the hire. I was like, I don't, just don't know that he's been in, but hey, you know, whatever he did, it was working. They had a 7-6 season, despite like kind of having a never ending carousel of quarterbacks. So, I don't know what'd you make of year one in the Beamer era? I mean, they weren't like sexy to watch on TV. That offense wasn't doing anything, but.
And it was, they struggled because they had a rolling carousel at quarterback. They couldn't stay healthy. When you think they had what's my boy named Luke Dottie come in, and he was supposed to be the starter. He gets hurt early in camp. And so they bring in Zeb Nolan, who was a grad assistant.
Dude, that was
Zeb
hilarious.
Was a grad assistant at the time. And he throws the ball in practice a couple times, and they're like, holy shit, no, we need you on the team and play quarterback. So Zeb Nolan comes in and plays quarterback, being a grad assistant from North Dakota State. And, you know, it's just a rotating door. Dottie comes back. Dottie plays a couple games. They trying to figure it out. They had a lot of continuity on that team, but it just didn't all come together. And you got to think, it was year one. And so in a year one where it all didn't come together, you had a rotating door at quarterback, and you still went 7-6 with the 14th hardest schedule in the nation.
You beat your rivals, North Carolina. But I do love that Zeb Nolan story. Let's talk about that for a second, because he was an FCS quarterback that struggled to get on the field in the FCS ranks. He's like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to be a football coach. I'm going to go to South Carolina. I'm going to start coaching. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey dude, we need you. All right. And all of a sudden you're in an SEC games. That's fantastic.
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
and that's a dream right there.
I have a little bit of footprint on the team, and you know, I know a couple guys over there, and they said, hey, Zeb came to practice and he was slinging it. Zeb looked really, really good. It was no question that Zeb was going to play quarterback. So it wasn't like we hurt and this was our last option. No, he really went in there and won that job in training camp and was able to go in and play quarterback. So now you bring in Spencer Rattler. This is the big hire. This is, you're bringing him in over from Oklahoma. And, you know, yeah, Shane Beamer was a special teams coach, but you got to remember Oklahoma, he was an assistant head coach over there, the tight ends coach. So he had a footprint in that offense over there. He knew how Spencer Rattler worked. It was familiarity. He was one of the people that helped recruit Spencer Rattler. And so now you have Spencer Rattler coming in. And I think that the expectations are a little bit low. They're a little bit low to look at the situation that was last year.
Yeah.
Last year, Lincoln Riley was foot in door, foot out door the whole season. I don't care what nobody says. The whole season, you can look at that offense. He was a foot in door, foot out door. He was like, all right, I'm playing. Like, all right, you know. And if you ask people, they were like, he asked coaches for more of their input in things than years than he would. Like, normal years, he wouldn't ask for that much input. This year, last year, he was like, hey, what do you think about this? He was a foot in, foot out.
I'm a big fan of Caleb Williams, but I think you can make the argument that Spencer Rattler should have never been benched from a statistical standpoint. And I know, like, and that's one thing that I think we should key on, because I mean, I think Spencer Rattler is unbelievably talented. You'd be a fool to think otherwise. When you watch some of those highlights, you're like, whoa. But he did get chippy with Oklahoma fans. He was tweeting at them. You know what I mean? Like, it was getting a little ugly. I will question, like my thing, I've had buddies that do this, you know, in the stand-up world, that start tweeting back at the fans that don't like them. And in my opinion, you've already lost if you're doing that. You know what I mean? Like, you just ride the high road, let the hate come in, and just say, you know what? I'm good. I'm doing my thing. But he's learning. He's a kid. You know what I mean? Now he goes over to South Carolina, because I'm telling you, SEC fan bases even more so are going to give him a hard time. So a little bit of adversity. Just don't tweet out, Spencer. DM me. I'll talk to you. All right. I'll talk to you. Just don't come at them. But I do think that I said this when it happened, that do you really need to bench him? Because I don't think he was playing that bad.
So I think this was a part. So I don't put anything that happened to Oklahoma on Oklahoma, Spencer Rattler, or nobody. I really think Lincoln Riley was like, all right, I'm gone. Like, he knew he was gone. He knew he was taking Caleb Williams with him. And so what are you going to do with your quarterback when you know you're taking him to another team? Do you want him to just have a full red shirt first year? No, you want him to get some experience. Yeah. And so when the opportunity presented itself, he knew that, okay, there may be an opportunity where I can slide Caleb in there, and I'm going to do that because he's my quarterback of the future. No matter where I'm at, he's my quarterback of the future. And so, of course, I think that this was the opportunity that Lincoln Riley I don't put it on Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma as a football team would be better. I think Spencer Rattler in terms of South Carolina will look good because we got to remember he was the favorite to win the Heisman last year.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I was shocked that, by the way, that's what I mean. Like, Shane Beamer, you know, create as many Full House fucking videos as you want. All right. Because I mean, something's working in the portal. Cause you got Spencer Rattler there. I was shocked. I thought maybe at the time, I don't think we knew Quinn Ewers was going back to Texas. So I was like, maybe he goes to Texas. Maybe he goes some of these other schools, maybe UCLA. I know was one of them, but they land Rattler, their running back situation. They have Marshawn Lloyd, who's a former top 50 recruit.
Yep.
And they went out and got Christian Beale Smith, who I'm a big fan of Christian Beale Smith.
Wake Forest.
Yeah. He's really good.
Wake Forest running backs are good, man. Dang, Kenneth Walker, he was at Wake Forest and he went to Michigan State, top third round pick in the NFL draft. Those Wake Forest running backs are good.
There was one in the USFL this year who played for the Philadelphia Stars. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, but he was really good as well. They're doing something over there, but they need these guys because look, last year, Marcus Satterfield, the offensive coordinator, they were 104th in scoring offense, 93rd in rush offense, 95th in pass offense, 111th in total offense. I mean, to me, you already land Rattler and Beale Smith. You got to be above that. I think you're going to be a much better offense. They get Josh Van back at wideout. They got Jaheim Bell at tight end. And it's funny. I've read a couple of different things, you know, they might go with a little two tight end set. Austin Stogner came over with Spencer Rattler. This guy was one of the best tight ends in America, I feel like, over the past couple seasons. Comes in from Oklahoma, making the trip. Beamer knew him from Oklahoma. So those two tight ends.
He was his coach at Oklahoma.
That's right.
He's going to coach him up.
That's right. So 4 of 5 back on the offensive line, led by center Eric Douglas. The offense, I mean, this is going to be one of those ones where I think we see, cause you know, certain coaches like you don't have to travel that far. You go to Clemson, South Carolina, Dabo Swinney doesn't really believe in the portal. Well, South Carolina is the opposite. You're going to see this team that's really, I kind of portal filled. We're going to see how fast will it be. The team that's, you know, hey, we're going to be bringing these players up like Dabo Swinney. Are you going to see what Shane Beamer says? Hey, I can go out there and get these pieces and mix them around, and all of a sudden I can have this team. We're going to see how that works out. But defensive coordinator Clayton White is back. He did a pretty solid job last year, and there are some questions because just 1 of 4 is back on the defensive line, and that's Zach Pickens. They have they're returning just one linebacker and one starting linebacker from a season ago, and Brad Johnson. But they do have 3 of 5 back in the secondary, led by safety R.J. Roderick. Breaking in a new kicker. Close games might be a little interesting, but returning the punter, all in all, if they can get the defensive line, what's that?
Don't forget that defensive line. Jordan Strachan is coming in from NC State.
That's right.
He's one of those guys. He's one of those guys who led the FBS in sacks in 2020. So don't forget Strachan comes in there. It's addition by subtraction. So yeah, you're losing people, but you bringing in somebody that led the FBS in sacks at one point. You know,
yeah.
Just like you were about to say, this defense, if they can get this defensive line set and good, I mean, year ago, they were right outside of top 40, 41 in defense and across the nation. If you stay anywhere in that area or make any improvement from that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm tipping my hand a little bit, but I'm high on the South Carolina team. I think that Spencer Rattler is in a better situation. He's with somebody that actually wants him around. If we look at what Spencer Rattler did in 2020 when Shane Beamer was still at Oklahoma, 3,000 yards of offense, 65.5% completion percentage, 28 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. I mean, I think that when you commit all the way to Spencer Rattler, he's going to be really, really good. He's going to have the opportunity, and they have some good weapons on the outside. And if they can run the ball, you don't have to put that much pressure on them. This offense is going to continue to move the ball, and they'll put points on the board rather than having those empty possessions that you saw a lot of the time last year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I want to talk more about the transfer portal, cause I really think they brought in some other guys that I didn't allude to enough. I'm going to talk transfer portal. We're going to talk what Las Vegas expects from the Gamecocks and what we expect. We're going to go game by game on the schedule, but first, I got to get us paid. I want to tell you folks out there that the College Football Experience South Carolina Gamecock preview for 2022 is brought to you by WinBet. Bet $100 at WinBet and get a $100 free bet. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WinBet. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. We're also brought to you by IP Vanish. IP Vanish is the official VPN of SGPN, and they're offering 70% off if you go to IPVanish.com/SGP. That's IPVanish.com/SGP. We're also brought to you by Odds Trader. Odds Trader is a place to compare odds from all the major sportsbooks. It's pretty cool. You can also compare the different signup codes and promo codes from sportsbook to get the best deal available. The app also provides player statistics, key in-game stats, injury reports, projected game day weather from bettors to make the most informed bets possible. And it also has a bet tracker, which is something I love. Sometimes there's so much action going on a day where you have like multiple sports, especially when you get in the fall and you got like 10 different sports going. You know, this will keep track of all your bets and your records, you know, as you're going week by week. So check it out. Go to oddstrader.com/bluewire. That's OddsTrader, the number one site for all your game day bets. All right, we are back talking Gamecock football, and man, this transfer portal, I got to get to it, man. Because it is, it's pretty exciting. Rich. It's pretty exciting what they got. They brought in. See, I didn't talk about the wide receiver position too much right there because look, okay, yeah, they got Josh Van coming back, but I'm excited. I watched JMU football and Antoine Wells was a guy that kind of jumped off screen. Now, sure, that's the last year was FCS JMU jumping to the FBS, but that guy jumped off screen to me when I watched. I was like, whoa, who's this big wideout that is just kind of dominating the FCS? Now, obviously, jumping from the FCS to the SEC is a big jump, but I like that. And then they went out and got Corey Rucker from Arkansas State in the Sun Belt, and he was an all Sun Belt wide receiver. I kind of like those pieces. It's going to be interesting to watch how they do against these SEC defensive backs. But I really like what they got receiver wise in the portal. They also got tight end Nate Adkins coming in from East Tennessee State. The Buccaneers, they were an FCS playoff team a season ago. Terrell Dawkins, a defensive lineman from NC State, Austin Stogner, Spencer Rattler, who I alluded to, Devonnie Reed, a safety from Central Michigan that started with the Chippewas up there, fire up Chips, and Lavoisier Carroll, a running back out of Georgia. Now I don't know that he'll get burned right away because this running back room is, I think, pretty,
it's deep.
But I think in the long term, it could be a nice get. They definitely won the point. I mean, look, I guess I got to touch base on a little bit of what they lost before we grade this thing. Offensive tackle, Justin Turrentine went to Florida State. They lost wide receiver Trey Adkins to, I believe, Mercer. They lost Rico Powers, a four-star to Deion Sanders in Jackson State. Deion continuing to do it. They lost
from South Carolina too.
I mean, yeah.
He took his son from South Carolina and got him over there at Jackson State. So
watch out. I mean, they are must watch TV this year. All right. Defensive lineman William Rogers coming into went to McNeese State. Linebacker Jakeem Green went to Florida Atlantic. Tight end EJ Jenkins went to Georgia Tech. They did lose. This one hurt. Linebacker Colby Fields went to LSU. That's a blow. Yeah, some of the other ones going to smaller schools a lot of times because they're not getting burned in the SEC. But yes, Deion Sanders also got tight end at Kavion Mullins from South Carolina. They also lost quarterback Jason Brown to Virginia Tech. Kind of expected once they landed Rattler. They also lost offensive lineman Vincent Murphy to the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, cornerback Dominic Hill to the Temple Owls, and linebacker Jamar Brown to the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers. And I believe that they lost a couple other small, like Trey Smith went to an FCS school. I believe, what was that? I think North Carolina Central. And cornerback Karen Prunty went to North Carolina A&T. Hey, there you go. Shout out to Terrell. He's an A&T graduate. Overall, though, I mean, look, I get it. They lost like a linebacker to LSU and they lost a decent amount of guys, but let's be honest. A lot of these guys were struggling for playing time. They're looking for better opportunity. They're going elsewhere.
They brought in a lot of opportunity.
Bringing in Stogner and Rattler right away, because I feel like that happened with like the same week. I instantly was like, whoa. I was like, okay, Shane Beamer's not messing around. Let's talk schedule though, because look, if you're watching on YouTube, by the way, subscribe to the College Football Experience and the College Basketball Experience. South Carolina just flipped the number one recruit in the nation. Subscribe.
GG.
Yes.
Hey, Columbia Zone. He's coming home.
Oh man, we just dropped an episode. Lamont Paris, brand new head coach, definitely making some waves with the flipping him from North Carolina, the Tar Heels. How do you feel? Because you're conflicted reclass. There, right?
He's gonna, but no, I mean, it was tough. It was tough, but I know why. I mean, I'm not gonna sit out here and say it, put everything on the business, but I know why he went to South Carolina, and because I know why he went to South Carolina, I'm like, all right, I don't blame you. Like, I don't blame you. So. I mean, I ain't really mad at it, but it's going to be fun. He should reclass and be playing in the fall. So we'll see what Lamont Paris, he got a potential lottery pick in the starting lineup this year. If Gigi can get anywhere close to a double-double, he's absolutely in the lottery.
There we go. Subscribe to the College Basketball Experience. We will have you covered over there, and we're on YouTube. So as the College Experience. So check us out. If you're not watching this, so you don't see the graphics, 6 wins is what Las Vegas is projecting from the Gamecocks. And it's interesting, if you go to pull out the odds here for the juice on this, it is -150 on the over, +130 on the under currently. So Vegas basically leaning towards, hey, we think this could be a 7-5 team, but we're thinking 6-6, but maybe 7-5. So they definitely aren't seeing it as a 5-7. More likely that they're 7-5 than a 5-7. I got to be honest, on first thought, I go, I'm going to smash the over, but I look at the schedule. The schedule, we're going to go game by game. I do think it's harder than I thought.
We talk about it.
Week one, Saturday, September 3rd, they host the Georgia State Panthers, Williams-Brice Stadium. This is a sneaky game. Don't sleep on Georgia State, because Georgia State, 2 years ago, they went into Tennessee opening day in 2019. And beat them in Knoxville. And they should have beat Auburn in Auburn last year. Auburn converted a fourth in like 15. TJ Finley did. And if you look at that score, you say, oh, Auburn won by 10. It was Georgia State threw a pick six late. So it was like that was Georgia State was winning with 4 minutes left.
Yeah, it was Georgia State. And they probably should have won that game. But, you know, we talk about the turnover going on at Georgia State right now. And South Carolina 16-2 all time versus the Sun Belt. They lost the last time they played the Sun Belt team. App State came into Columbia and beat them in 2019, 20-15. I'm high on this team. And I think that it's just a little bit, it's the defense really for me. I think that defense is going to be way more physical than what Auburn was last year. And anything that Georgia State is going to see on the duration for the majority part of the duration of their schedule. So yeah, I'm still on South Carolina in this first one, but if that spread is too high, I haven't seen it. You seen the spread for this one? What spread?
I have not yet. I have not.
It should be up.
I'll double check on that right now. But it's because they have Arkansas on deck. So I think you can just build a case of like, I mean, I'm going to take South Carolina to win that game, but I could see a situation where you're kind of like, oh, okay, you know, let's take this lightly because we got Arkansas on deck. And I'm just saying, you got to pack your punch like that. I do like that program. Georgia State's program's kind of the way they play football. The Sun Belt in general, I feel like it's a physical brand of Group of Five football there. I'm going to go. I'm
13.5, by the way.
13.5.
Maybe a cover for Georgia State, but I think South Carolina still gets this win. First home game of the season, brand new quarterback. I think it's going to be electric. I think fans are going to show up because Spencer Rattler is in the building. It just seems like there's more optimism in Columbia about the team this year than in years past. I think they show up, show out. Give me South Carolina.
I agree. I'm going to go South Carolina. Then comes the game that I was alluding to. This is in Fayetteville. This is a great game for week two.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is a good game.
KJ Jefferson against Spencer Rattler, Sam Pulled Pork Pittman against not Family Ties. What's the show?
Family
again?
Matters.
Yeah, whatever they were mimicking on Full House. It was Full House.
Yeah.
So South Carolina at Arkansas, man, I got to go Arkansas cause it's at Arkansas, but I think I wouldn't shock me if South Carolina got this.
I'm not going to say I'm higher on South Carolina and I'd be shocked they get it. I just think Arkansas is a tough place to play. I think that this Arkansas team, especially week one playing Cincy, that's a pretty good first game, you know, regardless. And now they're getting South Carolina still at home. Yeah. I'm with Arkansas here. I think Arkansas gets this one. I got them 1-1.
Arkansas, I think if I can recall the stat correctly, I think it's one of eight schools in the nation that return their head coach, their offensive coordinator, their defensive coordinator, and their starting quarterback. So something to monitor. Their continuity is happening in Fayetteville. I went Arkansas, but I do expect like this to be a close game. So it wouldn't shock me if Spencer Rattler makes a crazy play, you know, and they end up stealing the game or something.
If Georgia State covers that first game, I think South Carolina covers here against Arkansas.
I like it. I like it. He's already. I don't even think we have a lot on that one yet.
I'm locked in.
Week three, the Georgia Bulldogs come to town, and look, it wasn't that long ago. It was not that long ago in Columbia, or no, it was in Athens.
It was in Athens.
Yeah, it was between the hedges.
Carrion Joyner, who is playing wide receiver right now, came in at quarterback and won that fucking game.
Dude, that game was ridiculous. I was rooting for South Carolina, but man, they were on the third or fourth string quarterback, and I still can't believe they pulled that off. This is sneaky.
He was a freshman during that game.
Yeah, but Georgia has Samford, not Stanford. Samford the week before.
No, but look. I'm gonna tell you right now. I wholeheartedly believe that South Carolina is going. This is going to be Georgia's only loss of the season, of the regular season. I think that you're on the road at South Carolina. You've beaten South Carolina the past couple of times. Yes, they got you that time, but it's Stetson Bennett. Stetson Bennett against what we project to be a really good defense. We think that this is going to be a really good defense.
I agree.
Are you telling me that offensive-wise, Shane Beamer isn't going to dial up everything in the playbook for this game? This is their Super Bowl.
This means
more than any other game on
I'll say this then. Look, Stetson Bennett made me look like an idiot last year. All right. I faded him and I gotta give it to him because as much as he looked bad in a lot of regular season games, in the playoffs, the guy played fucking really good.
Yes.
Like way better than I would have ever imagined. So he definitely made me look like an idiot. I see what you're saying though. Being on the road, and I think one of the most important things. And Alabama did it to Georgia in the SEC championship game. If you get an early lead, Stetson Bennett can't play from behind, or we haven't seen it yet.
No, I'm with you
because
this is the ultimate letdown spot for Stetson Bennett because you won the Natty as a walk on. You were a walk on at one point, and you won the Natty.
Yeah,
and so what?
It's a great story. Yeah,
you can ride off the sunset.
Yeah,
you can end your career, and you still have a Natty. There's nothing else. You have nothing else to play for because you're not winning a Heisman. You're probably not going to be a high NFL draft pick. So what else is there to play for?
He's never going to have to buy a drink or pay for a meal in Athens, Georgia ever again. But I'll say this. They have Texas A&M coming to Columbia later on the schedule. I do see this team. I think they're too talented. They're going to upset one of the two. So
yeah, I agree.
Hear me on that. I mean, I'll be honest. I do have a Georgia ticket. For over 10 and a half wins, but once again, the juice was pretty terrible. So I had to throw it out a little bit, but so I can't afford, I can still hit with one loss.
Yeah. I think this is it. I really think this is the one loss when we talk about, and I expect DeCarrion Joyner to have an impact in this game, just like he had in that impact in that game. What was that? Like 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
I expect, because if you look at him from the Duke Mayo Bowl, they know how to use him. Shane Beamer's not afraid to use him. And the fact that he started him in that Duke Mayo Bowl game is telling me that, like, hey, he's got some plans for him. Now, I'm not just saying this because I know him, and you know, I'm rooting for him, but I really do think there's plans for this game. And honestly, Arkansas might be a bloodbath if they're looking ahead to Georgia the next week. Like, hey, we got to be ready because we're planning on upsetting Georgia in Columbia.
That's true. We didn't think about that, but that's my problem though with this is Georgia has Samford the week before. They can just like walk into this where South Carolina's got like Georgia State and Arkansas. Those are bowl teams from a year ago. You know what I mean? Like those are winning cultures there.
But if that offense puts it together in those first two games, and now they're looking midseason form by week three. I'm with you. Let's go ahead and pencil. And I guess we're kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but I say between Georgia and Texas A&M, they go 1-1 in that game.
I agree. Okay. So look, we could just say right now 2-1, we get the upset Georgia. It's the story of the week. Then the Charlotte 49ers come in. If they did upset Georgia, and look, and Charlotte's not that good, but I do like their quarterback, Chris Reynolds. There is a letdown spot that could happen if they've been partying all week. However, yeah, I don't think absolutely. Charlotte's there yet. I think Charlotte's all right. I think Will Healy's improved that a little bit, but so I would have them then 3-1 through September. How about yourself?
Yeah, 3-1.
3-1 through September. Then they take on South Carolina State, the Bulldogs, and the FCS. They were pretty solid last year. They won the Celebration Bowl against the Deion Sanders and Jackson State.
Mm-hmm. They haven't played since 2009. They haven't played South Carolina State since 2009.
Wow, man, come on, that should happen more often. I mean, obviously, I'm gonna take South Carolina here. But
South Carolina.
And then there's a huge one going on. Shop to your drop customers at Kroger Field. Kentucky.
This is when they come back down to earth.
I think I'm going to take Kentucky here. If it was in Columbia, I would feel a lot better. So,
at Kentucky, you're 4-1 at this point. Potentially, worst case scenario, 3-2. I think worst case scenario, they're 3-2 at this point. But
yeah,
if they're 4-1, they're favored at Kentucky, and they're probably favored by more than what it should be. Like. Probably should be Kentucky a favorite at this point, but they're probably favored if they're 4-1.
It kind of depends on what Kentucky does. Like, they got to play in the Swamp week two. There's a lot of intangibles there, but
yeah,
I'm going to take Kentucky though.
Yeah, I'm with Kentucky.
So then 4-2, and they have a bye week, and we just alluded to this. If we gave Georgia the win, they're hosting A&M. That means we're taking A&M then.
And A&M was coming off a bye as well.
So 4-3, and then they get the Missouri Tigers. I am not very bullish on the Missouri Tigers this year. I kind of think Drinkwitz, I mean, he's recruiting all right, but I need to see more of him as a head coach. And I thought the 1 year at App, he kind of rode the coattails of Satterfield. I'm going to take South Carolina to beat Missouri in Williams-Brice. So that would then put us at what? After so
6-2.
So you're heading into November.
Or if I was that 5-2. No, that's 5-2.
No, 3-3, because A&M, Kentucky, and Arkansas. So we would have
5-3. Okay.
5-3 heading into November. Then they're at Vanderbilt Stadium. Is there any way? No, they're going to wax Vanderbilt, right? Vanderbilt. Yeah. So
I mean, Vanderbilt's coming off a bye, but they're just not good. They're just not good.
Yeah. 6-3. And then,
all right. So we're at a push.
And here's the hardest part, man. They go to the
this
swamp.
This is the toughest part of the schedule.
This is brutal. Schedule. The swamp. I'm sorry, I got to take Florida. That's too much of a. They waxed Florida last year. I'm sure that's bulletin board material for Billy Napier in year one in the swamp.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no, I can't. In the swamp. I can't take them in the swamp. I think that it's going to be a different atmosphere. I think Billy Napier's at this point. Billy Napier should have that team rolling. Anthony Richardson could be in Heisman category this year. They got to get this one.
So that puts them at what? 6-4 and 2 games remaining. Now this is the game. And this is what I mean by the number. When I went through, when I first saw 6, I said, "Oh, I'm going to smash the over." This is going to be a tough win to get. And I think they're capable of it, but it is a true 50-50 game to me because Hendon Hooker and the Tennessee Vols come into town. Tennessee got them last year. They didn't have Spencer Rattler last year. This is two really good quarterbacks going at it. Man, I don't know why. Like,
I'm gonna be at this game. I think I'm gonna be at this game.
This is a great game.
November's cold. I don't know if I'm gonna be here. I'm not gonna lie. November's actually kind of.
I love Terrell Furman because I have this no dome approach, and I feel like once a month I get like a tweet when I'm shitting on someone's dome. From Terrell saying, "Dude, what are you talking about? I don't want to stand outside and watch football.
Why do I want to why would I freeze to watch the game?
Man, they got hot chocolate.
So I understand. Okay, cool. I understand what we talk about injuries in the dome and we talk about college football, but I understand that. But can we just take the stadium as is and can we just put like a cover on top? We don't have to change the grass. Just put a cover on top.
No
and
way.
And then
dude.
Pump some heat through there.
No
and then
way.
Just pump some heat through there.
Come no on, way. Bro. Like, dude.
Can we?
No way, dude.
You're not even going to notice. You're not
the
even
origin
notice
the of football, man. This thing started in New Jersey.
We will not change Williams-Brice. We will not change Williams-Brice. We'll keep it the exact same. We're just going to put a roof on top and then pump some heat through there. I like some weather.
I like some wind. You know, I like the elements coming into it. You know what I mean? Like,
we can get like an industrial fan and blow that across the field or something. Like, come on. I just don't want to freeze, Kobe.
We can set up some Hollywood special effects people.
I'll be in the press box. Everybody else will be outside. I'll be in the press box.
All I'm saying is this, man. I've been to games at domes, right? I've been to NFL games at domes. I've been to college games at domes. It makes me want to fall asleep. I feel like I'm at a shopping mall. It doesn't feel like I'm at a football game. It doesn't feel like I'm at a football
celebration
game.
I was at the Celebration Bowl for all but one of our championships, and it was amazing.
Well, I'm sure like the Celebration Bowl has its own tradition. So like you can take a certain dome game, you know, and I'm sure if Southern Grambling or you know, some fantastic rivalry games, you can put them in a dome and I'm sure they're going to be lit. But I'm saying your average game, it makes me want to. I've done NFL too. I've done it with both. And I'm just like, even baseball. I'll say the same with baseball. I've been to baseball games in a dome and I go, this is boring. I don't feel like
in a dome.
In Arizona, well, they kind of have to actually in Arizona because it's just hot as hell.
Yeah, it's too hot as hell. Yeah.
But anyway, we're getting sidetracked. South Carolina fans are like, well, what about the rest of the season? Tennessee in Columbia, South Carolina. Call me crazy. I'm taking the Vols.
I can't go against my guy, Hendon Hooker. I mean, I know his dad, Allen Hooker. That's my mentor. I can't go against my guy, Hendon Hooker, in this game. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a really, really good game.
Man.
But I think Tennessee gets the W there.
That's just such a tough stretch, too. You go to the Swamp, home to Tennessee, and then at Clemson.
And then think about that. The Swamp is a back-to-back road game. That's a terrible spot.
Yeah.
That is a terrible spot for a back-to-back road game.
Dude, I got him going 6-6, man. That's what I mean is like, and I know we can't do that because this is the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This is the college football experience.
We gotta pick one.
Yeah.
We gotta pick one. So it's one more game though. It's one more game.
You tell me you got them winning. Tell me you got them winning in Clemson, South Carolina Memorial Stadium.
I'm gonna say it because I'm on the over and I'm not afraid to say it. South Carolina is gonna be Georgia and Clemson in the same season.
Oh man,
and
dude.
Still be 7-6.
He's coming in. He's coming in. Shots are being fired right there. That is bold talk.
I can't wait till the end of the season and it actually happens and we can come back and clip that and I'll be like, oh yeah, I told you that South Carolina was gonna beat Georgia and Clemson in the same season. But no, we seriously. I know that we think that this is gonna be a better year for Clemson, but is there really too much that's backing that up? Like, I think we're just kind of leaning on the name Clemson, Dabo Sweeney, and just saying that, hey, last year was an anomaly and they're gonna be better, but it's not guaranteed that they're a lot better. And at the end of the season, you know, this stretch that they had, this is going to be a time where they're going to be like, hey, let's get up for this last game of the season. It's Clemson, and this is a rivalry game, and anything can happen. And so if anything can happen, I'll take my chances with a South Carolina team that's been a lot better than years past.
I would have loved this if it was just in Columbia, South Carolina, because at Clemson. Now, I agree. I'm a skeptic. I watched that spring game, and I know I've been arguing with NC Nick and Patty C, and I still, if you listen to our ACC preview just dropped, I still went with Clemson to win the Atlantic. But Ungalea or whatever, how do I pronounce? I struggle to pronounce that guy's name.
Ugalele.
Yeah, and he did not look good to me in the spring game. And I'm sitting there like this offense, you know, for so many years, whether it was Trevor Lawrence or Kelly Bryant or Deshaun Watson or their other skill positions. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I see. I'm sure they have a new crop of players coming in this year that will be like, hey, okay. But last year I struggled to see the difference makers that they traditionally have. Obviously a year older, who knows? But I see your point. I want to pick it, but I just feel like at Clemson is very hard to win. So I'm going to take Clemson still. It's 6-6 is what I have. If I had the leaned over, I'll go over because I do believe bringing in that much talent, like maybe they get Georgia and A&M. I think that's probably more likely than them getting Georgia and winning at Clemson, because I think at Clemson is, I just feel like hitting the road in college football is really tough. But that would be great for the rivalry because it's been a minute.
They need a marquee home. They're going to get one solid road win. They're not going to go out here and, you know, just beat Vanderbilt on a road. So between Kentucky,
Arkansas,
or Clemson, yeah. I don't think Florida.
Could be Arkansas. Really could be think, the Arkansas game.
It could be Arkansas. I don't think it's Arkansas, but it could be Arkansas. But between those, they're going to get one of those road wins. They're not going to go over. And that's enough for me to sit here and say, hey, play that over on South Carolina. At the very least, we push. But I think they get one of those road wins between Clemson, between Kentucky, between Arkansas. One of those road wins come through, and it's enough to throw them, propel them for an over.
They could get Kentucky. I actually like Arkansas more than Kentucky, so I think it could be Kentucky. Yeah. They got to watch out though, because they got to make sure Georgia State doesn't get them, and they got to make sure. I would say Georgia State's the big one to me. Like, don't be asleep at the wheel, because I know you got Arkansas and Georgia on deck.
I don't know where the money is coming in, but I think everybody's betting under, and it's juice. The juice is telling me that it's gonna go over. But why would people not be betting under when you look at this schedule and you're like, dang, you got to play Georgia and Texas A&M, Florida, Arkansas, who was really good this year, and Clemson still. I mean, I'm pretty sure people are betting the under here. The money's got to be coming in on the under, but there's still juice to the over. That's telling me that some way, somehow, South Carolina's going to get over this six.
Yeah, honestly, like gun to my head, I think it's a 6-6 team. But I think it's more likely they're 7-5 than 5-7, if that makes sense. So,
yeah,
I agree. All right. Well, look, folks, subscribe to the College Football Experience. And also remember to give Terrell Furman a follow on Twitter at @reallyrel__. He is the host of the NBA Gambling Podcast. Subscribe to that. He is also the host of the WNBA Gambling Podcast. Subscribe to that. You can hear him on. He was on the SGP show often. He's on. We broke him in here. All right. We broke him in here. But
and I'm still home. I'm gonna be here all season.
There whenever, we go.
Whatever call me up for them week previews or whatever, I'm here.
I just gotta nail the introduction. All right, I gotta figure that. I'm gonna go home. My wife's gonna be sitting there. She's gonna be like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Don't worry, I'm just working on this introduction, on this introduction." But folks, give them a follow. Check out those other podcasts, please. I'm telling you, they're fantastic. And folks, if you give us a 5-star review on iTunes for the College Football Experience, make sure you take a screenshot of that and show me that. Well, first off, 5-star review, and you got to leave some comments. You can't do it lazy. All right, just go there. It takes 1 minute out of your day. Leave some comments. If you take a screenshot of that, find us on Twitter at TCE on SGPN. Show us that screenshot, and we're gonna enter you in a raffle. SGPN's got a brand new merch store, people. So it's gonna be a short raffle. You probably will have a decent shot at winning, just like you will if you listen to me and Terrell Furman. So check out that and do that if you can. And also remember, subscribe to the College Basketball Experience. We have more of that Lamont Paris and South Carolina Gamecock talk coming. We talk college basketball year round over there. We talk college football year round here. And check out all the other feeds. If you hop into the Discord channel. Which Terrell was way ahead of the curve. Me, I was late. Me and technology. I still watch my movies on Laserdisc. You know, I got vinyl going all through my house, man. So they were making fun of me. But the Discord channel, I finally got in there. It's a lot of fun. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Discord. You get in there, you can talk all different type of sports. I mean, honestly, it's a lot of like, even if you don't have money on the game, maybe you're just. I don't know. Maybe you're at your grandma's house and she's asleep and you got the game on and you're wondering, man, is anyone else watching this? Is anyone else watching this? Hop in there. We're all there. It's a lot of fun. And we give you nice tips on what we like, what games we like. I can't recommend it enough. Get the SGPN app. And yeah, folks, once again, thank you for Terrell Furman hopping on the show and let's get the season going here. This is the College Football Experience, South Carolina Gamecock style. I'm on the over. He's on the over. Let's go, Gamecocks. You better start thinking about yours. And we out of here.